This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Silver and Black today at Aussie Original Sports Podcast. Do us a favor if you don't already subscribe to the show. Wherever you get your audio, just look for Silver and Black today. And subscribe. Also, drop us a rating. Would you drop us a five-star rating? I know there's some of you out there who will give us a one-star, and that's okay. Whatever you feel, go ahead and do that. We would appreciate that in addition to your subscription. If you're watching us on YouTube, welcome back. We appreciate you guys being here. The chat the last few weeks has been unbelievable. So we thank you all for watching and for going in there and having great discourse. People disagree with each other. They do it respectfully. They agree to disagree. It's a lot of fun. So we invite you to head up on YouTube and check that out as well. Welcome back, Scockle Branson, along with my co-host, Mo Moten. He is the senior NFL writer at Bleacher Report. Also, Raiders columnist at sportsnot.com. You can also catch my work covering the Raiders, the NFL, and others, including Major League Baseball, coming up pretty soon on Sportsnot as well. Follow Mo on X.com, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N, Mo Moten. I am at LV Gully in the show, SNB today. All right, Mo, let's jump into this. The hiring process, look, it looks imminent. It really does overall, although you have a piece up on Sportsnot from yesterday, last night, that people need to go read today immediately, talking about this. So we're going to dive into it, but it looks like every indication is Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce. That's going to make fans extremely happy. That's awesome. Antonio Pierce did a great job of leading his team to 5-4, definitely earned his way into being a finalist and interviewing for the job on a permanent basis. Champ Kelly, someone that I've respected and I thought way back should be the permanent general manager. I think he's going to finally get his chance. But it brings up a lot of questions, because if that's indeed the case, the Raiders have already satisfied the Rooney Rule. They've already gone through that process. They've had a more exhaustive search on the GM side than the coaching side, and we'll get into that in a second. But the reason they're waiting, we don't know why. And it was the subject of your piece. And I'm going to, for those of you watching, I'm going to bring that up on the screen here on video, entitled Vegas Raiders Head Coach and GM Search Due Diligence, or is Mark Davis having second thoughts? And Mo, the situation with this piece, I want you to lay it out for folks, because we've been hearing now for days about the fact that it's a done deal. You have it here. I'm showing it on the screen. Vic Tafer, our good friend over at The Athletic, Champ hired Tuesday and AP Thursday, basically saying it's done. And then you see other folks talking about it. And then Josiah Anderson reporting that not only are they going through this process, but then you have other folks talking about the fact that Mark Davis has had Champ Kelly sit in on these. He hasn't even been named permanent general manager, but he's been sitting in on the interviews for head coaches, all three of them. It's just it's a weird dynamic, because even if you're happy with the direction it's going, i.e. the fact that it's going to be Antonio Pierce and Champ Kelly, the whole process seems a little odd. Tell us why you might think that might show some, perhaps, again, we're just guessing, perhaps some doubts in Mark Davis's mind.
Well, first I want to say that we both thought Champ Kelly would get the job.
Yeah.
from the jump. You wrote a piece on Sportsnet about it, that he should get the job. I felt like I did a Bleach Report last saying between he and Pierce, I think Champ Kelly is more likely to get the job. Now, right. Over the past week or two, you pulled up the piece. A lot of people have speculated or expect Pierce and Kelly to get the job. So basically the ethos of my article is what's the holdup now? And because a lot of people have said, well, is Mark Davis having second thoughts and that's why it's taking so long, or are the Raiders just doing their due diligence? And I want to start with the due diligence part of this. I feel like the Raiders did their due diligence with the GM search. They brought in someone from the front office of the Cincinnati Bengals, brought in someone from the front office of the Bills, brought in Ed Dodd. So clearly,
yeah,
they had a list ready that they were going to go through that was going to be able to guys that were going to be able to challenge, and a gal, a woman too, from the Denver Broncos front office that would be able to challenge Chip Kelly for the position. So to me, that was a solid pool of candidates. Where I push back on the due diligence part of this is the Raiders really, to me, haven't done their due diligence with the head coaching search, simply because you know you're probably going to have to develop a quarterback in the upcoming season. Why not talk to at least one offensive candidate? They didn't. They talked to Leslie Frazier and Chris Richard, neither of whom have coached this past season. So two defensive guys who didn't have jobs for the 2023 season, not one offensive coach. So either A, Mark Davis went into this leaning so far into Antonio Pierce that he didn't really consider a strong pool of candidates, or B, they're waiting to hire their general manager to then open up the floodgates for the head coaching search, which would be the due diligence part of it. But we don't know yet, simply because for now, as you said, Champ Kelly has sat in on the head coaching interviews. And if Champ Kelly is hired, it's more likely that he's going to want Antonio Pierce as the head coach because he's worked with Antonio Pierce already. He has a familiarity with Antonio Pierce already. So why would he then pick Leslie Frazier or Chris Richard to work with? It doesn't make any sense to me, other than the fact that the Raiders have already made up their mind already.
Right.
And that's and for the really quick, Scott, for the second thoughts part, I mentioned in my piece, and there are rumors out there that Tom Brady is involved in this process as well. Maybe not sitting on the interview process, but he has Mark Davis's ear. And that's the part where I think that if there is a holdup, if Tom Brady does have a lot of sway, if Mark Davis is listening to Tom Brady, there may be some second thoughts where Tom Brady doesn't necessarily have Antonio Pierce as high on his list of desirable head coaches. And maybe he wants Mike Vrabel in there. Maybe he wants Jim Harbaugh. Maybe he wants the Raiders to talk to Jim Harbaugh. By the way, the Raiders have not requested an interview with either yet, or interviewed either yet, because they can be interviewed. They're not employed by the NFL.
Right.
So it makes me think that if Tom Brady is involved, possibly, and I'm not reporting this, but maybe that's the holdup, that Tom Brady is saying, hey, wait, before you make your final decision, think about this, think about that.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of folks who listen to this, who listen to the show, are going to say, well, you guys are just guessing. You know, I had some folks respond to me when I forwarded the story that came out. We had Vincent Frank wrote a piece up on Sportsnet about this and about the report. And they were like, oh, you guys are just, it's just clickbait, you're guessing. It's not that we're guessing, but again, I think this goes to, and this is the important part I want to make, not defending journalism, because there's people out there who hate any journalism. They just think that we're all crap and that we just all guess. And listen, as you said, Mo, you're not reporting it. These are things being discussed. But this gets to the core of what I talked about in the opening and what we're talking about here in the show today, which is the process. So the process is so convoluted. Now, again, even if you support Antonio Pierce's coach and you don't want anybody else's coach, I'm okay with that. And we've said all along, even though people are coming back and saying that we haven't, but no, we've said all along that if you can pursue a Harbaugh or somebody like that, which to me is Jim Harbaugh, that's it. Great. You do it. Doesn't mean Antonio Pierce doesn't get the job. In fact, we would say he was number two behind a Harbaugh. So if Harbaugh's not in the picture, then Pierce is number one. But you look at all the other teams with openings. Every other teams with openings have gone through. I mean, the Falcons have interviewed, I don't know, 8 or 9 people. And they're not just checking the box for the Rooney rule. They are going through and they're talking to all kinds of candidates, including Bill Belichick. I'm not saying the Raiders need to talk to Bill Belichick, so slow your roll. What I am saying, and this is what you get at in your piece a little bit, which is the idea that you still want to bring people in and talk to them, because, and especially even some of those young offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, because you don't know if Patrick Graham's staying, we'll see. But the whole point of that interview process is not necessarily that it's going to convince you that you don't hire Antonio Pierce. It could, but it could also say, you know what? I met with Frank Smith. He's got a Raider background. He's a good offensive coordinator. He's not going to get a head coaching job, let's just say. Maybe he wants to come back to the Raider family. You open up that conversation. Is he comfortable with Antonio Pierce? Do they mix well? Does he mix well with Champ Kelly if he's the GM sitting in on the interviews? That type of thing is a discovery process. And what concerns me, just like last time with Mark Davis, and yes, Antonio Pierce and Josh McDaniels, not comparing the two, please, okay? But what concerns me, if I'm a Raider fan and somebody who covers the Raiders, is the fact that you're going through this process again and you're not opening the door to all of the opportunities that could await you if you had a more exhaustive process on the coaching side.
So here's the point about that. I didn't make this point in the Sports Nuts piece, but the only way to justify the Chris Richard and Leslie Frazier interviews as being the only interviews other than Antonio Pierce is if they're trying to add Chris Richard and Leslie Frazier to their defensive coaching staff in preparation for it. Maybe they think that Patrick Graham may move on to another opportunity, mm-hmm. or they just want to add to the staff. Because remember, the staff that Antonio Pierce worked with was Josh McDaniels' staff. I think that's the point we need to make, that the staff was going to change regardless, simply because Antonio Pierce didn't put together that staff that he has right now as the interim. Mm-hmm. That was Josh McDaniels' staff. So possibly, the only justification for interviewing two guys who haven't coached this past season are defensive guys is they're trying to refill their defensive staff in anticipation of losing a couple of coaches or assistants.
Yeah, but to my point, Mo, though, so again, and listen, I don't know either man. Chris Richard, all I know is that they didn't do well. He was let go. He didn't coach last year, either did Leslie Frazier. We know Leslie Frazier, obviously, from his history, but these are not guys in high demand. These are not guys that have interviewed in other spots. So my question, and I agree with you, I think, hey, you bring in some guys, not necessarily because they're going to be the head coach, but you give them a head coaching interview. It's an exploration, as I mentioned just a moment ago. So the idea that you do that, great. Like, I have no problem with that. If you're going to go with Antonio Pierce and that's your guy, fine. But you still should do the process. And you go back, the quote, the interview with The Athletic that Mark Davis talked about after he named these two guys interim and said, look, you know, it'd be great if they get the job, but I'm going to keep an open mind. Last time it was prescribed. I knew what I wanted to do before the season was over. And okay, so maybe he didn't decide to hire Antonio Pierce and Champ Kelly before the season ended, but it certainly seems like he had his mind made up. So is that process what Davis said it was going to be?
To this point, no, because if you're, as I wrote in the Sportsnet piece, if the two candidates that are challenging Pierce for the job are Leslie Frazier, who was in Buffalo, wasn't fired. He actually left because there were some issues going on in Buffalo. And Chris Richard, who was last with the Saints, I believe as a co-defensive coordinator, but he was a defensive coordinator, I believe, in Seattle, didn't work out. If those are the two top candidates to challenge Pierce, then it's clear to me, and it should be clear to everyone, that you had been leaning Pierce to begin with. Now, some people say, well, he caved to Max Crosby. And I'll say, even before the Max Crosby rumor came out that everything is on the table, the Raiders had not requested an interview with an offensive-minded head coach. So I wouldn't even say it's he caved to Max Crosby and the players. I would say from the jump, he may have just had tunnel vision on Antonio Pierce, and then the Max Crosby rumor that came out may have just solidified it for him. Yeah. But again, I don't know what Mark Davis desires. This could come out and Mark Davis could go in a completely different direction. We don't know. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to hire a head coach, you should at least talk to an offensive-minded candidate, because you can compare those offensive-minded candidates. You can compare their plan with Antonio Pierce's plan for the offense, and then make the best decision. I want to be clear, Scott, that Antonio Pierce was my second choice behind Harbaugh. I believe I was very clear on Twitter and clear here that if the Raiders don't hire Harbaugh, you hire Antonio Pierce. So it you know, regardless of how it happens, hiring Antonio Pierce would be a good hire, in my opinion. But as I said, you want to make the best choice possible. Not that you're bringing in people to convince you not to hire Pierce, but I think you want to have plan A in place, plan B in place, plan C in place, and you compare them. Okay.
Right.
Dave Canales comes in with his plan for the offense. Ben Johnson comes in with his plan for the offense. Frank Smith comes in with his plan for the offense. And then you already have Antonio Pierce's plan for the offense. And what you do is you take the all four plans and say, okay, what's the best plan? Regardless of what my leanings are, or what I wanted to do before the process, who presented the best plan? Because we're going to have to develop a quarterback in 2024 to win more football games, get to the playoffs.
Right. And for those coaches that are already in the league, they can only do virtual interviews. So we understand that. So you might not necessarily hire somebody right away. But this gets to the point. And I know for some folks out there, they could care less what we're talking about. They just want Antonio Pierce. And again, as I said, and you can go back and check every single show we've done on the subject, Mo and I have been consistent with the same thing we said is if you can get a Harbaugh, you do it. If not, Pierce is a fine second choice. Got no problem with that whatsoever. So that some people don't care outside of that. But what we're looking at and analyzing is an organizational stuff, is the issue of hiring practices and what you do. And to your point that you just made, when you bring these coaches in, you hear what they have to say. It's very helpful to do that. That's why the Falcons, the Chargers, all these other teams are bringing in so many different coaching candidates. Of course, they're not all, they probably have a top two list. Okay. So the rest, the other five that they interviewed, you never know because you get to know them a little bit. You get to know their plans. They might even take a lateral move. If Jim Harbaugh gets the job in LA, yes, Raheem Morris appears to be a very hot commodity, right? To go get a head coaching job. But let's say he decides to switch from the Rams to the Chargers because he likes Harbaugh. He likes the direction, right? You just don't know what's going to happen with people in their careers and what they have planned. So this is the problem to me. And I think externally, you know, fans and folks that love the Raiders get upset when the national media and everybody puts down the Raiders. But it's, I think, situations like this where it's okay if you hire Pierce. The national media has been incredibly supportive and campaigned for Antonio Pierce to get the job. So that's all good. But then they look at the process and they're like, what are you doing? Like Leslie Frazier and Chris Richard, like that's who no other team has talked to them, right? I mean, Leslie Frazier may have had one other interview, but other than that, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think that's where I have concerns organizationally, because if you're prescribed with your decisions and you're not open to listening and exploring other people for the betterment of your own knowledge, that to me is a concern from the organizational standpoint.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
My thing is, if they wanted to hire, if Pierce was the decision going in,
yeah,
then just hire him. Right. Like I said, I'm fine with that. If they want to hire, if that was their choice before
they've done the process, the Rooney Rule process is done. That's it.
If that was their choice, then hire Pierce. Good choice. Right. But like I was saying, the only way I could justify them bringing in Richard and Leslie Frazier is they're using the interview process to refill a staff where they may lose a couple of assistants. Now, if they're doing that, then it makes more sense because you're bringing in Chris Richard to possibly coach the secondary and maybe Leslie Frazier as a defensive consultant, or maybe he'll have a position on staff. Then I get it. it would be just to fill Pierce's coaching staff. Then it makes sense. Some people will still have a problem with the process because you feel like they should still talk to offensive coaches. But then I would say that they predetermined their choice and they're just trying to fill a staff using those interviews. It would make sense to me. No, now, if you're doing this and you're still undecided, I think you still have to open it up to at least a coach who's coached this past season.
Somebody who's a real candidate, like somebody who you would, let's say Antonio Pierce had a change of heart. I know it won't happen, but let's say he had a change of heart and he goes to coach the Tennessee Titans. He gets a job offer and suddenly you're like, oh crap, plan A just went down the dumper. What do we do? Who are you going to hire? Like you haven't even talked to anybody else for a plan B should something happen.
I guess that would leave Patrick Graham open for that coaching position. But Scott, let's also remember that, and this is why I say I don't want to heavily criticize the interview process, because one, they haven't made a decision yet, and candidates that are employed by the NFL still cannot interview in person after the divisional round. So who knows? Maybe they do some head coaching interviews in person after the divisional round. We don't know yet. So there's still time for them to do their quote unquote due diligence. So we have to wait till the pieces fall in place, because there's still time for them to do some things.
And Mo, I think your point is fair, you know, not to be overcritical of it, but it just, the question marks are what pop in my head, because you're right. They could be waiting till after the divisional round for in-person interviews, but why wouldn't you at least do the first virtual interview? Unless they've already prescribed, for example, and Antonio Pierce says, hey, I got this guy, he's going to be my OC. Why aren't you interviewing candidates for that? Like, why aren't you, you know, you can interview candidates for all kinds of positions. The OC position technically is open because there's an interim there now too. And they've not interviewed anybody for that job that we know of, because if it's for with another team, they have to ask for permission. So that tells you it's either somebody in the college ranks. We already know about Cliff Kingsbury. I wrote a story about that on SportsNot. It's been well reported. So maybe that's the direction. You know, it's just weird, the process. And look, we don't need to know all the answers yet, because until they make a decision, you're right. You don't know what the answer is. Yeah. But it just seems like the process goes smoother in so many other places. And for some reason, with the Raiders situation, it's always a little different. Again, you're right. Don't be overcritical, because we don't know all the facts. But it just seems a bit odd. And I think it's starting to get a little more odd as the time goes on. To your point, if you already have your coach, name your coach. If you have your GM, name your GM. If he's sitting in on interviews, that tells me, like, why would you have him sit in interviews unless you really believe he's going to do it? So I'm all good with both choices. Just make them.
I think that's what we're all waiting for. I think, because a lot of people ask us, okay, so what's the deal? It looks like it's going to be Pierce and Kelly. Why don't they just announce it? And then the piece that I wrote was just giving answers as to maybe why they're waiting to make that announcement. As I said, maybe they're waiting till after the divisional round to do head coaching more head coaching interviews, especially with offensive minded coaches. And two, maybe Tom Brady's voice has some sway behind closed doors that's making Mark Davis pause a little bit, where Tom Brady said, okay, let's consider this candidate or these candidates before we make a final decision. So I was just raising those two points. Right. It wasn't really an article that was meant to be critical of the interview process, because again, the interview process isn't over yet. It's still ongoing, because the Raiders haven't made their official decision yet. So there could be still some inner workings going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Remember, we're all on the outside, including reporters. All of us, the top insiders, can only guess what Mark Davis is going to do, because how many times have we thought the Raiders were going to move in one direction and they go in another direction? To me, this is the Raider way. I've covered the Raiders for close to a decade now, and I've come to realize that, one, the Raiders aren't going to do things the conventional way. They're just, I know you mentioned other teams have done it this way, Scott, but the Raiders have usually done things their way, and it may not look like the rest of the NFL. I know that. I've covered the team for a decade. Trust me on this. Mm-hmm. The other thing I've noticed about the Raiders is that they take a while to make the decisions. I remember going back to announcing their final 50-man roster. The Raiders and the Ravens, I think, were the last two teams to announce their 53-man roster. So one thing I know about the Raiders and their organization, they're going to make you wait. So for the a lot of people
for are, fans.
Yes, yes. A lot of
people. And even us, like we've been wanting to go live, right? When the announcement comes and we're like, right. Okay, now it's Thursday and there's still no announcement. And then Mo's got to write today. I got to write today for work. And we got this kind of stuff. We're like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it because who knows when they're going to drop the news.
This is typical Raider procedure. They're going to make you wait and the process is not going to look like every other team. That's just the fact of the matter.
That's well said. Absolutely. And yeah, fans get frustrated. I joked about it on X the other day and people are like, let's take it so long. And I get it. You know, you want to know what's going on. We want to know what's going on. So I feel you there. And it can get frustrating at times because you just want to know what you're dealing with. For those who really want Antonio Pierce to be coach, they just want it to be validated. And those that perhaps want the team to consider other folks are like, you're kidding me. You're not doing it. So we'll see. It all comes up. All right. We're long in this segment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back on this edition of Silver and Black today, we'll talk a little bit more about this, continue to have the conversation. Also want to talk about hiring. If you hire Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce together, how is that different from Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels? We'll talk about that when we come back here on Silver and Black today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. You're with Mo and Scott. We're coming right back.